There's a small rock garden on campus, but it was built unusually far from the main buildings, so to get to it, you have to hike quite a ways. No one has time between classes, so before or after school one might stop by. But in a way, this space is the office to someone who doesn't have an office at the academy. The dragon who works in acquisitions sits herself up there more often than not. She's either seated lotus position against one of the walls next to the stream that runs through this place, or she's set up on a bench with a book, or playing cards, or a board game, and people stop by. Today, you stop by in the early morning, which means she's off in a corner, meditating. A few others might be seated around, similarly positioned. She tends to speak aloud, and, if asked, will actually give a complete lesson. You come up to ask. She looks up, brushing black hair out of her eyes, opening one, nods, beckons you to sit opposite her. When you ask what position you should be in, she just says, whatever makes you comfortable. If you want to close your eyes and imagine you're in your bedroom at home, that works too. Works for me. But this is as good a place as any. No one will disturb you up here. Then her eyes close. Her hands are rested in her lap, her legs folded so each foot touches the opposite knee. What you've thought of is a classic meditation position. But before your very eyes, she changes positions, laying back, completely on her back, hands folded over her chest, yawning but speaking perfectly. Now, it's all right to relax. If you fall asleep, in a way you'll be meditating even better. There are lots of goals you can have. I'll go through them. But let's start like this every time. Just come up and ask me. Okay. Her eyes closed, reclined and comfortable. She begins to speak. Welcome to some basic meditation. I plan to do it with you, so you'll know someone out there was undergoing the same slow road into easy thought, clarity of mind, and perhaps a guided aftermath toward realization and actualization of what your mind already desired. Breathe. We so seldom take the time. Breathe slow and deep and easy, to the best of your ability. The world can be obstructive to the simple act of existing, breathing, quieting your mind enough to breathe in and let out, to let your mind move with those breaths, expanding your consciousness, then contracting it to a fine, unconcerned, relaxing point within. Focus on the top of your head. Thoughts focused there. The idea that our thoughts are inside our heads, certainly true, but they can go anywhere within the body. You can rest your attention upon any point in your body, allowing the nervous system probes and responses that come from your blissfully tactile interaction with the world to send signals right back up to your mind, which then interprets them. Think of it as lines of flashing, sparking electric potential along the wiring of your musculature and nerves. You are animated, alive with light and electricity. But out in the world, it is sometimes obstructed. Sometimes it's hard to get hold of what you're really thinking. It can be difficult to keep thoughts in your head, so that you may turn them over, consider them, and decide whether it is worthwhile to go on thinking them. With this in mind, allow this opportunity to be something different. Different from what the hectic everyday world demands and requires. This is a time of rest. Think of your environs. Turn your mind to the environment in which you are meditating. Mine I will share, and perhaps you will be inspired to cultivate your location Or maybe you already have. I find it helps. I have incense going. I'm seated with my legs crossed on a mat on the floor. I have my microphone on a small table nearby. On another, flickering candle, the incense holder as well. The air is quiet. I've omitted music today, but perhaps on some other day, music will be appropriate. Perhaps on your end, soft, unobstructive music is already aiding you in relaxing your shoulder tension and letting that warmth which has formed at the top of your head distribute itself throughout those channels to your musculature, to the tips of your fingers, displaying, warming, reminder that you are alive, vital, and taking this moment to engage in one of the often neglected but equally vital processes of the orderly mind, the descent to another place. Your body becomes less relevant as your mind and its expansion of concept and thought becomes core to the whole experience. Hear my voice. See in your mind's eye those things we lay out together. The act of imagination does take practice. One must read books, one must expose themselves to media and fiction and art, and find a way to phrase the words to themselves, to instruct your own mind in visualizing. But today I'm here to assist you. I do implore you to make meditation a normal part of your life, even if it can't always be with my voice there to guide, nor should it always be. Time spent in comfort with oneself increases your comfort with others. You need to learn to live and be by yourself, at least for meditation and orderly thoughts, before you'll truly be comfortable with other people. You yourself are worth assisting, and thinking of someone out there who wants to learn is a help. It can be difficult to know what to do with your hands. I just cut mine, one back of one hand, in the palm of the other hand, and lay them crossed in my lap. But you may do whatever assists you most. Likewise, whether you keep your eyes open and focus on a point ahead of you, or on a flickering flame, swinging metronome, the pendulum of a clock, or close your eyes and focus on, when you look closely, the swirls of faint color, light line impression, sometimes patterns like stars on the insides of our eyes, just from the pressure of closing them. But today there is no pressure, only heavy focus. When you think about something intently, the idea itself can adopt a kind of weight in your mind, as if it were heavy. Inside of your head, whatever thought you're thinking, including these ones, may drop into place with a heavy, dense, thudding, drifting feeling, a warm, repetitive, assistant motion. Clearing your mind does not mean the absence of thought. After all, meditation is a wonderful place for thoughts. But when you interact with the world, you go out to the store, so to speak. You look for particular ideas, you bring them up to the till, and you bring them home. Then you think them. Meditation is different. You're leaving your mind open. You have room in a bag, a backpack, whatever metaphorical construct you prefer, for what you find on this nature hike through your own mind. You are making room. So seldom is there room out in the world. But today there is room in your mind for the ideas you have been denying, the ideas you have been denying and avoiding, or the ideas you have been too busy to focus upon. They are able to filter through. Those warm waves from before, the top of your head down through your shoulders. So many carry too much tension in their shoulders. It is all right to move a little when you are meditating, to stretch and adopt a more optimal position. Eventually, you will know how to adopt the most comfortable position from the beginning. But for now, you are only trying to find a place where you can open your mind and go on that walk, a gentle nature walk, picking up thoughts which have been discarded by the side of the path, taking them home, inspecting them. To have clarity of mind does not mean you are free of wandering thoughts. It is difficult to be free of those, and unnecessary. Sometimes important thoughts come from wandering places. The epiphany, the stroke of genius. I would no more have you put aside your wandering thoughts than I would have you truly become a blank slate. Sometimes it's fun to play at that, to empty your mind as much as you can. But meditation is an active process of focus, of ordering. Think of the shelves in the library of you. Bottles on the shelf, books, ornaments and clocks, things that must be wound or sorted, marked or noted, things you may simply appreciate for their beauty. The thought of the cultivated garden. We will return to here many times. Where here is a lesson for another day. For now, the simplest exercise, and it can lead right into another, is to let your eyes be as they must be for your greatest focus. To turn your mind to your stretching and seated position. Take time away from the world. And breathe. Simply breathe. Exist for a time. When eventually you think you're content with the amount of time dedicated, you may go to another lesson, or you may rise and go to a duty out in the weary, busy world. But this place here is something you carry with you. Farewell for now. There is movement eventually. There is stretching eventually. The sound of the dragon stirring from the stones, rising and preparing to go off on some mission or another. But you are left with time, in the rock garden where no one will interrupt, to rest. There is nothing beyond here that will require your attention, no interruptions forthcoming, and so you can lay there and feel the wind across your body. It's okay to perk up your ears or stretch, to wiggle and settle into place. All right to simply be for a while, with new lessons intact. And so you do, perhaps running your hands over your body, feeling everything, and being certain that it was not a dream.